Look Who's Back. It's First Off Your Wrong, a podcast by two dudes smart enough to see problems, but too dumb to figure out how to fix them. I am Luke. With me is Jeremiah.
Hi.
And our esteemed guest star or personality.
Esteemed is going far.
Okay. Jeff.
Howdy. Thanks for having
Maybe
me.
Maybe Jeff. Present guest star.
Wow. I esteem myself.
I mean, as much trash as we talk about him, I'm amazed that he's actually here today. So, Jeff, tell us all about you in 5 seconds.
I'm the guy who gets all the shout-outs, and if you shout me out today, it'll be like an infinite regression of Jeff's.
Hit him with a disclaimer!
All right, as you guys know, this podcast is mainly opinion-based. Of course, as Christians, our utmost authority is the Word of God. However, there's some things that we cover on this that may not be directly addressed in Scripture, or they might be gray areas in the Christian life. Our goal is to make you come away thinking of things maybe you haven't thought of before, or things that you have thought of, just in a new light. With that said, Jeff, why don't you ask Luke what people are wrong about this week?
Luke, what are people wrong about this week?
People are wrong. Why are people wrong about Jeremiah?
I don't know, Jeff. What are people wrong about?
Okay. People are wrong about kids' TV shows. Kids' TV shows.
I was hoping we
could just keep you give going. Me a definition on a kids' TV show?
Well, it's a TV show for predominantly children.
For children. Are children
predominantly.
Are they considered kids?
Ooh, that's. That's a bit too NPR heady, like.
Anyway, as a father of two children, and Jeff as a father of two children, you know, we stand alone in what we know about children's TV shows. I think I am.
I'd be interested in hearing Meyer's perspective, since he still resembles a child in so many ways.
As a former child, I take offense to that statement.
What's your current favorite kids TV show?
Like currently being aired or current?
No, like the you TV watched show. It most yeah. recently.
The most recent kids TV show I've watched was Bluey.
Yeah.
But I did not watch that by myself.
Which episode was it? They talk about butts?
I don't remember. It just was dogs.
Were the kids like rude and disrespectful to their father?
I never saw any of that in Bluey.
Oh, you never saw that ever?
No.
I guess I'm the only one watching episodes that I see that everywhere.
Jeff, I know. Don't your kids watch Bluey?
They watch Bluey.
Or they watch the
Wait, Daily aren't your
Wire
kids
Bluey.
Sinners too?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's safe to say all of our kids are sinners.
Go listen to Calvinism.
go listen to Calvinism and Halloween.
And where did that one come from?
I don't know.
He just wanted to
I just needed
call
to,
my kids out.
I need to amplify.
You have something you want to say about my kids?
I love your kids. I love your kids.
No, they are sinners. They're the little imps.
Yeah, okay, so we don't have to sit here and just bash Bluey for an hour, even though I'd love to do that. But I guess let's just go with, since we have Jeff here. Jeff, what do you look for in television shows that make you want your kids to watch it?
Yeah, so if we're talking general principles, like it gets complicated because every family is going to be different. Everyone's standards are going to be different, and they're going to be different within families for different kids who are different ages. So you got to be very careful applying standards to something like this. But one standard I think we can be safe applying is the Deuteronomy 6 rule. Deuteronomy 6, Moses is preparing the people to go into the promised land, and he's giving them the law the second time. And talking about the law, he says, teach your sons, whether you're in the house, whether you're walking by the way, when you're laying down, when you're rising up. So in the house, by the way, everywhere, laying down, rising up, all the time, whatever you're doing and wherever you are, whatever time it is, you need to be preaching to your kids. And so when I'm looking for a show, I'm looking for something that's going to support me in that effort. Certainly never watch anything that undermines God's word and reduces my effectiveness in teaching them God's commandments. So I don't want to show them anything that's going to confuse them. Well, Daddy said this about the Bible, but in this show, look how celebrated they are
And they make fun of this thing that my dad just told me that I should be doing.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever you're doing, including watching TV, you should be looking at it as an opportunity to preach the gospel to your kids. And so you can use good TV and good movies to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, like, I was with your kids the other day, and we were watching Pinocchio.
Pinocchio is fun.
Pinocchio is a great one because you can, it's fun to watch like as a kid and an adult, because you pick up on different things as you're going forward with it. And the kids love it because it's a Disney movie, and the way it's animated is made to, you know, keep a kid's attention. But it also has all the different stuff where everything is so obvious. Like, who's the guy you shouldn't trust? Oh, it's the fox.
Yeah, literal fox.
The literal fox is the guy you shouldn't trust.
In a show of humans, by the way. Yeah, this yeah. guy's the fox.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and a puppet. Yeah.
Okay.
But
but doesn't he want to be a real boy? I've never seen Pinocchio.
You've never seen the original Pinocchio?
No, yeah, it's never, good. I still have never it. Seen good. It. I need to.
But, yeah, that, I thought of Ephesians 6:4. Mm-hmm. Was one that I thought of, which is, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So, yeah, it's talking about don't make your kids angry, don't provoke them to anger. But what's a good way to get your kids angry is to tell them one thing and then demonstrate another thing to them.
Right.
So, you also want to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, putting things in front of them, like this new whole... It's like every other TV show now has got some LGBT angle to it or some crazy liberal agenda on it. That phone.
It wasn't me.
It was the guest.
The guest. I didn't know. Nobody. You guys just had me sit down and start talking.
Yeah, we didn't even have a sign in here.
We did it. All right, and now this person gets $10,000. Thanks to Liberty Mutual. Good.
Sorry. But anyways, you know, you don't want to be telling them one thing and then just leaving them to watch whatever other thing just happens upon the TV. And it used to be, I remember when we were kids, it was not necessarily with TV, but with books. I mean, it was the same way with TV. Anytime we wanted to watch TV, mom and dad had to turn on the TV for us. But with a book, if we were at the library, until we reached a certain age, every single thing we read and checked out of the library had to be approved by mom and dad.
Mm.
Because we're sitting down and we're spending time reading these books. They wanted to know that they were going to be positive influences. They weren't just going to be something, you know, some random thing that anyone could have written and thrown out there that we're going to ingest and then parrot as truth.
And a good example of a parent not doing that is when Aaron, go listen to Pokemon and Manosphere 1 and 2. When Aaron asked for Kanye West's graduation album for Christmas when he was 13, I think 13 or 14, I can't remember.
Couldn't have been 13.
Well, it was 2007, right?
Was it set?
It was 2007. It was 2007. You were like not even born. So anyway, and... So he
asked
for it.
Like 42.
Aaron, yeah, he is. He's pretty old. He asked for it, and then my dad didn't know that you could get the, what's it called, the radio edit album. So he just bought it on eBay, because eBay was a big thing at that point, and he got the explicit one. So you have, you know, a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old sitting there singing Kanye West, like just complete. And it's like, again, would I want my kids doing that? No. And would my dad want that? No. But I think by the time he found out about it, I think I was like 16 or 17, and he was just like, okay, well, that was really dropped the ball on that one, which he did. But then again, I think that your parents sitting there and I guess not really, I mean, they were kind of filtering it out that
pre-screening.
Way. Pre-screening, like just looking but at what you guys are doing.
Even at that, I mean,
you could still get some stuff through cracks.
Parents can't filter out everything. Mm-hmm. That's not like, they can be as careful as possible, but things are still going to creep in, and there's never going to be 100% success. I mean, how many times have you walked into like a grocery store, not a grocery store, but like a store that has TV displays, and then all of a sudden there's some image on there that you don't want your kids to see, that you don't want to see? How many times are you driving down the road and there's an advert? I mean, there's two down the, like, down the highway from us, there's two advertisements for the Gentleman's Club.
Yeah, no, I drive by every day to go to church.
And the goal...
That's crazy.
I don't think the goal should be to filter out everything that your kids are going to see, because there's, you know, I can't read Chronicles of Narnia without disagreeing with something that C.S. Mm-hmm. Lewis said.
Yeah.
I love Chronicles of Narnia, and Livy loves it. I'm reading it to her now. I love Cinderella. I don't agree with, you know, I haven't thought too deeply about it, but I'm sure that if I hyper-analyzed it, I would filter out Cinderella for one reason or another, because, I don't know, eschatology.
So is it, I think what I'm picking up is it's less about being a strict filter and just becoming like a Mennonite and getting away from everything, but more putting it in a way where your kids can analyze things for themselves, and they grow in discernment under your guidance. The time they get old enough to where they're out of the house, they have that foundation.
It's not like Jeff's
parents.
I can't filter everything out. If it has some nudity in it for my 5-year-old, I'm going to let him have it. But it's like what you were saying, I'm just going to put words in your mouth, is that if it has something to do with maybe there's one or two things that aren't on that level that I disagree with, I'm okay with, because the broader picture is not going against a bunch of the stuff that I believe or want my kids to learn.
Yeah, you filter everything through the Deuteronomy 6 principle. Use everything, TV show or dinner or bedtime, as an opportunity to preach to your kids and teach them God's law. And you can do that with a lot of good shows that, you know, talking about modern shows, I don't know how many now could be used in good conscience, but, you know, like the older Disney movies are excellent for something like this. Excellent at teaching morals. And this kind of, you know, there's a sub, principle to nest underneath of Deuteronomy 6, which is watch these shows with intentionality. Have a plan in place. Don't turn the TV on, set your kids down in front of it, and then walk away.
Yeah.
Turn it on knowing what you're going to put on for your kid before the TV turns on. Know how long your kid is going to be watching for. Know how many times that week they're going to be watching. Know what you're going to talk about after the show is over. Have a plan in place and then stick to the plan. Don't just let the TV babysit your kids and hope for the best in whatever lessons they're drawing from the show.
Yeah, and I remember having questions after watching stuff like nature documentaries, right? Some of the most innocent things out there, just planet Earth, you know, watching
the
whales.
Where, like, the lion chases after the gazelle and, like, eats in front of your eyes.
No, like the lion chases after the lady lion. That was my question.
No. Were either of you traumatized by March of the Penguins?
Didn't have
Morgan Freeman. That was marketed everywhere as, I think it had Phil Collins music in the background of the ads where everyone was all happy and it's like, look at the lovely penguins. And then you get there and it's like the most terrifying emperor penguins murdering each other.
I didn't even know that.
But
I guess I
March of the Penguins this. Trauma tangent avert. But every or most Planet Earth documentary series are going to say just offhanded comments about, you know, this lemur has evolved to specifically harvest this berry out of this tree, right? And so you hear all that, but at the same time, I'm in children's church and Sunday school and, you know, Christian school, and I'm learning about how God created the earth. So I'm having this, you know, my education is saying one thing, but my entertainment is saying another thing. And a normal thing for a kid to do is the thing that entertains you is going to stick with you.
Yeah.
So having those conversations after the fact where, you know, a kid, you can even preempt it and say, hey, evolution is not true. And you know that, you know what the Bible says. We can explain it. You can use it as a teaching opportunity. Some people believe it. But you can still see the beauty in God's creation through this, even though they have a wrong worldview.
Yeah, and those types of lines are why it's so hard to draw you know, sharp distinctions. The church should watch this and should never watch this.
Yeah.
Different families are going to have different tolerances. Different families are going to have different opportunities to explain truth to their kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our parents did a great job when it came to evolution and watching those nature shows. When it happened, Dad would just laugh at it, which is sometimes with a kid, that's the best defense against bad doctrine. That's so silly. Isn't that silly? Isn't that ridiculous? You know, your kid sees something and you just laugh it off like a joke, and then they learn to treat it like a joke.
My dad never laughed at it, but I never remember hearing, like, when they go, oh, and it evolves into whatever, you know, and they say in those things. I never remember going, wow, is that how it happens? I just remember being like, that's so stupid. And I'm guessing it had to come from my father or somebody just, like, putting that in my brain, like, that's not how it works. And
I do remember. I forget what movie it was, but it was like a trailer for a movie that we were watching. But the trailer was for what was the one, the big ecological movie with the guy who ran against George Bush?
Al Gore?
What was Al Gore's movie?
Unfortunate Truth.
Unfortunate Truth. It was the trailer for that, and I think we were at home, and for some reason we couldn't skip the trailer at the beginning of the movie, and after it was over, Dad was like, what a lying idiot.
Like, watching stuff with your guys' dad would be, like, the funniest thing. Just, like, waiting awkwardly for what he's going to say at the end of something like that. Like, what does he have to say about this?
Well, no, we really... And that's actually a great point. We would talk about things after the fact. Yeah. We were hungry to find out what Dad thought about something. We asked him at the end of a movie what he thought about that movie. Mm-hmm. And then he would share his thoughts with us. And sometimes the thoughts were just like, it was good. It was fine.
Best $6 nap I ever took.
Yeah, something like that. And then sometimes we would have a discussion. Sometimes we would have a discussion at dinner the next night about something we'd watched the night before.
So, I mean, like I said, that's a very, very good way for dads to do that kind of stuff. Cause I don't think my dad never, I mean, he did sit down, like he would talk to us about some movies, but like when we were younger, I mean, we never went to go see movies, and we'd only watch like really kiddie. I never remember watching anything where I'd be like, what does my dad think about this?
Yeah.
Then again, I mean, I still would have accepted whatever he was thinking, and it would have been nice to hear it, but it wasn't like on my radar of something that I guess happens like all the time.
Well, one thing I always think about is there's so many movies that growing up were just, I don't want to use the word important, but that's really the best part, but important to my upbringing, right? Like I learned things from those movies. First one off the top of the head is Secondhand Lions, mm-hmm. right? There's so much in that movie where as a young boy, especially, it has everything that a young boy could want. It has sword fights, stories, and it's like your
Robert Duvall in a beanie.
Robert Duvall, yeah. They're, you know, these two old guys beating up, you know, greasers in the 1950s. It was great.
What is this movie called?
Secondhand Lions. You've never seriously seen it?
I've never even heard this.
Excellent movie. It's got the
Secondhand Lions.
Secondhand Lions. It's got Robert Duvall, Michael Caine, and the kid from
Haley,
the Sixth
Sense. Haley Joel Osment. Yeah.
So
really,
it's an excellent movie.
Hmm.
That okay, you know, as a younger kid, was one of those ones where it was, you know, you would watch it and it had everything that you were thinking as a kid. Right. It had, you know, when you're playing and having fun with your friends, you'd be playing sword fights and cops and robbers and that sort of stuff. And then that movie has it. And the way it's told is really informative and kind of plays into the normal boy childhood fantasy.
Well, let me ask you something. You're kind of answering the question now, but there's lots of families, lots of Christian families who don't have a TV, who don't mm-hmm. watch movies, who don't watch shows. Is that better than watching something, watching movies, and risking bad doctrine or bad morals being taught?
I don't think it is, in my opinion. And I go to anecdotal evidence on that, which is I had a buddy whose dad was kind of like that, but he was like a totalitarian in like every aspect of life. He wasn't allowed to have video games. He wasn't allowed to have. They didn't have TV. Christmas was a pagan holiday, and so they did not celebrate that. But he was a Christian. That's fine. I guess it was more of the day that we're celebrating Christmas and what Christmas has become is pagan to him.
Very, very fundamentalist.
Yes, very, very fundamentalist. So, and but now, of course, once, you know, the entire family imploded, then he just decided that everything was fine again. Doesn't matter. That's not about this family. But that kid, the second he got away from his dad, like, just, I mean, his entire mind is just he can go anywhere he wants. He's watching movies, he's watching shows, he's playing video games, he's doing this. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I played Grand Theft Auto when I was like 11 or 12, which was a horrible thing. And I appreciate my best friend's brother for not asking my parents after I told them, yes, it was okay for me to play it. But like there's things that I watched and played where then, like we're talking about, where a parent, it may not have been even my parents, but it was a parent would talk like, well, you guys sure you should be playing that because of blank, and then makes me think about what it's implying. Not necessarily like, oh, there's like sexual content in this or there's language, but it's like the innuendo or what they're trying to convey through whatever's happening in the game. And then they're like, are you like, if you think about it though, this happens, and this happens. So Is that something that you guys really like? Is that something that you would consider to be a good thing that you guys should be participating in? And because of that, then it makes me, it's helped me now as a parent, where I think about those lessons I learned, and I'm able to look at my kids' stuff and go, okay, when Georgia gets to be of an age where it's like she can completely comprehend what I'm saying, and I don't have to speak in broken English to her, it's like I'll be able to convey these thoughts better to her, where she can. I think it makes it so you're not being flooded with all this stuff later in life when you don't have a parent that's there to like you said, not filter everything out, but help mitigate a lot of the horrible stuff, and then help you get through the things that maybe we don't all agree on.
But you are running a risk.
Yeah.
The risk is something comes up on the screen or you make a mistake and they watch something detrimental. And so is it worth running the risk for an hour of entertainment?
So I'm going to play off of what he said with...
Why is he asking us the questions?
I don't know.
Okay, just go with this. You know, it's Jeff.
Yeah, it's Jeff. Sorry. You can just ignore me.
First off, you're Jeff.
You're Jeff, yeah. So, yes, I do think that fully disconnecting from society in that sense and leaving the kids completely out of things makes the draw more appealing. All you have to look at is things like the Duggars and the, you know, Welcome to Platteville. Those two shows demonstrate that perfectly, that when you have kids who are grown up without a TV, without any form of entertainment, they are not allowed to participate in the culture, period, then it the culture has a stronger draw because now it's mystical. It's kind of like when you have a gun and the kid knows, hey, you can never touch the gun. You can never do anything with the gun. Don't ever do it. Then that just turns it into a magic wand that the kid wants to play with. Instead of it being something, oh, that's a tool that I need to respect. And dad told me I can look at it whenever I want to, as long as he shows it to me. So I'm not going to touch it unless he's around. Weird example, but that's the one that came to mind. So running the risk of having something shocking, something overly secular pop up on screen in front of your kids. Yeah, of course we don't want that to happen. We don't want, or we're having fun watching the Transformers show, and then all of a sudden there's a non-binary Transformer that pops up on screen, and now we have to explain that to our kids.
Isn't it weird that Transformers have a gender at all?
It is. It is.
I mean,
if I look at Optimus Prime, though, I'm like, you're a dude.
Yeah, obviously he's a dude. I'm just saying.
But wait, is Bumblebee a dude or a girl?
That was a design choice. Yeah, no, he's a dude, right?
I never got into Transformers.
I think he's a dude. I think he. It's just a girly name.
All the
though.
Cool ones were dudes.
But then all the other ones are non-binary. the lame ones, losers.
Anyways,
go ahead.
So,
you were talking about Transformers.
You're talking about Transformers. And their non-binariness.
I agree with the things that are being said.
Yeah.
Pressuring us, yes. Okay? Don't fall
so
for it.
So I don't... Saying is it worth the risk is making it overly dramatized, I think.
I think
a better way to say it would be... Shut up, Luke.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
A better way to say it is... Or a different way to look at it is it worth the risk of allowing them to watch whatever they want and not giving them the tools of discernment early in their life, so that way when they're old and making their own decisions, now they have whatever they want available to them, so they go and do it.
Yeah. The world is always going to have allure for young Christians. It's no matter how, like, you could remove all the filters and just let your kids bathe in whatever comes into your house through your television, and they're still going to want to participate in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could go the opposite way and restrict everything, and they're going to want to go bathe in the world. The goal of a parent is to teach them truth and make that the desire.
Yeah.
You know, I agree that it's not...
You agree.
I agree.
Sorry, Ruben.
I don't think I understand the insight. I need to listen to your podcast more.
It's okay, don't listen to it. It's pretty garbage.
I agree with you.
No matter what the medium is, your kids need stories.
Yeah.
And that can be through you just telling them familial stories, reading them books, them reading books for themselves, TVs, movies. They need stories because stories are cheap wisdom. They're ways for you to learn lessons that you didn't have to live through.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of use in fiction. I remember having a conversation with someone not too long ago about whether or not fiction is beneficial. And I brought up the same point you did, which is you don't have to live through the story, mm-hmm. right? And there's a lot of things that you can do with fiction where you can suspend disbelief for these things, but then because you're suspending disbelief, it's more easy to convey this set of principles in that story. Aesop's fables are particularly good at that, but even you look at the parables of Jesus, he used fictional stories to convey biblical principles. So not conflating Bluey with the parables of Jesus, but that a fictional example can be utilized for good. Don't laugh.
Bluey and the parables of Jesus. All right, fine, dude. No, I was going to go back to when I was interrupting you, but now you've interrupted me 1,000 times. Not really, though.
I'll interrupt you again.
The taking the, quote, chance. So there was a time where I was watching Band of Brothers with my dad. I think I was in high school at some point. And episode 9, there is a sex scene.
You and I have the exact same memory.
And I did not know it, obviously. My dad did not know it. And it happened. And we were watching it, and it's just like...
Yeah. It's a quick cut.
It just comes out of nowhere. And then it only lasts for like a few seconds. And then you're just like... So in that moment, if my dad had dealt with it in a better way, I think that actually is a very good moment, especially for high schoolers. I think it would have been good for my dad to like, you know what? We can talk about this. This isn't like... something we just should... We
did an extremely awkward air that falls heavy into the room.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, with my dad, he just kind of was like, And we just kept watching, and nothing was said. And I think that even those, like, quote, taking the risk, like, even with that, like, that was a good moment for, like, a father to be like, you know, you could talk about it right there, I think. Yeah, of course, it's going to be awkward. Then again, I don't care about
awkward situations. Well, yeah, not to Monday morning quarterback your dad. But also, if you put yourself in that same situation with your teenage son.
I'm not saying he should have sat up there and given me a sermon. I'm just saying he didn't, like, sitting there and just letting that thing go by and just not saying anything whatsoever, I think wasn't the best way to do it. I don't think sitting there giving your high schoolers a sermon about sex at 10 o'clock at night when you're watching a war documentary series is a smart thing either. But I think that something should have been said.
Well, point of contrast, that same exact... Yeah. It was the same scene. I assume it's the same scene.
Oh, it's going to be the same. Yeah. I think it's the only one.
It happened... I was about 9, too. Mm-hmm. And...
Well, 9's not high school, but okay, I got you. You're like...
Didn't you say you were 9?
You're like a child.
Maybe you said you were 9.
He's 44.
No, so, I think I was... Yeah, I was like 4. I was like 14.
You're 22.
Okay. That
I was like 22
follows.
Now.
But my dad got the box set from somebody at work who said, "Oh, it's great, and your boys can watch it because there's nothing wrong with it."
I think we got it like a year or two late. Okay, I'm not like that much older than you.
Okay,
right. I'm a young guy. All right,
you're kind of stuck on this.
I'm a young
you?
Guy. Okay, I don't want to talk about it anymore. But keep going.
Well, anyway, so the scene flashed on. My dad was furious with this guy, but in the moment, he turned the TV off, and it was an immediate conversation because we had no idea what we just saw. It was me and my older brother. We had no idea what we saw. We just knew it was weird. Something was weird, especially dad's response. And so he had the conversation. I don't remember exactly what was said, but he apologized that he let us see that. He explained some of the like the vagaries of what was going on. Hey, that's something very private, and you're going to find out about it later. We don't need to talk about it now, but if you have any questions, we need to talk about it.
See, that can happen, and it's okay. And that he was 9. I was 14, okay? You could have talked to me about it then. And I'm not, like, bashing my dad for it either, like I am. But it's... It's like, I just think that something like that should have happened for me. And my dad is just someone, he's someone who does not like to have like the emotional conversations and stuff, the sex conversations. My dad is like, does not want to have them. He just doesn't like that kind of stuff. And that's him. I don't agree with it. I think it should have been done. But I think something like what your dad did is extremely smart. And I don't think you have to have a full-fledged conversation per se. But I think it, especially for if you were in high school, I think your dad probably would have opened up to more like talking about it, especially if he'd already talked to you guys about sex.
Yeah,
then it was like, okay, now we can like, you've seen this thing and we, you know, if we need to talk about it, we can talk about it or whatever, and then go through whatever needs to be talked about. I don't know. Just my opinion, Jeremiah, okay?
I don't remember ever having anything like that, so I'm just kind of sitting here.
The crazy thing is we both remember that happening. You were older. I was only 9. I remember what the room looked like that I was sitting in.
I remember exactly what the room looks like. I remember like it was super duper dark because we were at night. We had like the curtains closed and stuff in our living room. I literally remember like what the carpet looked like and everything like that, like what chair I was sitting in, where I was in the room. That's how much I remember.
And those are the risks that I'm talking about. That obviously had an impact on us. I'm not saying it like it was detrimental,
right?
But we're sitting here 20 years later talking about it.
Yeah.
So for some reason,
not exactly 20 years.
Okay. Thank you for clarification. But the things that we see in movies and TV shows, they stick with us for better or for worse. And the story's part of it, but also kind of the shock element. That's most of the way people make movies nowadays anyways, is they shock you into watching.
Yeah. Mm. And now there's some other things that can happen nowadays too, especially in the world of streaming. You can always pre-screen a movie for your kids, right?
And you should, especially anything new.
Yeah, anything new you can like.
You don't want to show them the newest Disney show about a panda or whatever that one was.
Oh, Red Panda.
Yeah,
I pre-screened that one for about 5 minutes and shut that one off.
A popular one that was people got really upset about last year was the Puss in Boots movie, the new one, which was probably the best animated movie I've ever seen.
Haven't you already talked about that on the show?
He's talked about it a lot.
Puss in Boots
maybe
was
not
so
on this show, but he talks about it a lot.
Here's how good this movie is. I bought it on Blu-ray, and I own a physical copy. I own 3 movies, and I've bought one, and that is the only movie
I've
ever bought.
You bought the soundtrack on vinyl, too, right?
No, not yet. It's in my eBay cart. But anyways, so when that came out, people were like, oh, hey, it's another, it's a Puss in Boots movie. The first one was so, it's for kids. Let's go take our kids to the second one. The second one has some legitimately terrifying scenes in it, like making me and my wife, grown people, sweat and like shake. It was that
like
scary
stuff.
Yes, scary. The villain in the movie is Death.
We also should point out that the bar is a little lower for you, though.
Yes,
I wasn't sweating.
It's nice having Jeff here.
I'm a weak little manlet, but we watched it in the big D 3D.
Yes,
so
things are scarier when they're big.
You mean IMAX?
Not IMAX.
Okay, gotcha.
No,
okay.
I'm not that fancy. But so people got mad because they took their kids to see it, and then all of a sudden their kids are having nightmares about Death. And it's like, okay, maybe you could have counteracted this if you just went and watched the movie beforehand or waited for it to come out. But besides that, you also have handy tools now like Common Sense Media and Kids in Mind, two websites that do. I don't think they're explicitly Christian. They might have some Christian undertones to those websites, but they look at movies and they give them ratings. Oh. Kids in Mind is especially handy because it has a it has 3 bars that it rates things on out of 0 to 10. One is for sex and nudity, one is for gore and violence, and one is for language. And the higher the score on any of those marks, the more prevalent it is. So you could look at something and say, okay, there's no sex in this. There is some violence, but there's a lot of language. Okay, I don't want my kids to hear any curse words or anything, so we're not going to watch that. And it gives you a quick at a glance, and then it also goes into detail because it could say, oh, there's a little bit of sex and nudity in it, but what it is, a married couple kiss each other and then walk away, right? And it marks that to say, okay, maybe you don't want to even see people kissing at all. You don't want any romance in this movie. So stuff like that is helpful nowadays too.
You know, one of my tricks is I will search the movie title LGBTQ+. because that community is so proud of its representation inside of movies and TV shows that they will search for every little innuendo and nuance within the show and claim it as an LGBTQ victory.
Yeah.
So you just search that and your targeted ads get a little strange, but it shows exactly what's going on inside of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that you can do nowadays that people couldn't, like our parents couldn't do, you know. So it does make it a lot easier. And like when I remember when Kids in Mind came out and I wanted to go see movies, I found out about it. And then that was my like, hey, I want to go see this movie. I pulled it up on Kids in Mind. There's nothing wrong with it. So can we go watch it? And so that kind of worked to my advantage when I was a teenager and like a younger teenager, because now there wasn't any like, oh yeah, I don't know what's in that movie, so we can't watch it.
Well, Focus on the Family used to be the thing that used to do that, right?
They do it too. I forgot about
that. But Focus on the Family, and then there was another one that everyone, when I was in high school, they'd talk about, and I can't remember what it was called. But they would rate, it was a Christian website, and they'd rate it, and they were very harsh to the point where it was like, there was like, you weren't allowed to watch anything. And I can't remember what, I cannot remember what it was. And I was like, I hated that website. Because my Amish mom, like, I can't remember what it was. It doesn't matter.
Well, there was a movie that came out when I was in high school. You might have been in high school at that point too, Jeremiah. But one of those websites that came down really hard, and like conservative commentators, they were talking about this movie about how there was child cannibalism in the movie. And my dad caught wind of that, and we were all excited about, we wanted to read the books and watch the movie. I'm excited to see if you guys can guess what movie I'm talking about. But he was like, no, there's no way we're going to go and Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Oh. Hunger Games. Yeah.
Dude, the books are fantastic. Yeah.
Well, there's no way you can read the books. There's no way you can watch the movies because we're not going to expose you to child cannibalism. And then he looked at another website to screen the movie and the books. And then he actually, I don't know if he read the books, but he watched the movie without us.
No, he didn't watch the movie without you. He watched the movie with me and Jay. Oh, and you and Joey were not there.
Yeah. It turned into, over time, one of his favorite film series.
Really?
It
was child cannibalism.
I was on the phone with mom the other day, and she goes, yeah, I just finished watching all the Hunger Games movies. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Total 180 from their original position. But, you know, I guess that's the less heralded version of pre-screening movies for your kids.
Yeah. It's just... There's always going to be stuff like that with parents. And I think it can be one of those where the more cautious, the better might be a good approach with some things. So, especially new TV shows, if there's something that's giving you some ick, to use a trendy word, as a parent, then maybe you should just say, we don't have to watch it. There's an unlimited amount of entertainment that we can watch anything besides Cocomelon.
And by the way, with especially younger kids, but this applies all the way up through teenage years, if you don't like something as a parent for your kids, you don't even need to be able to explain to yourself why. If you have a bad feeling, that's all you need. Now, maybe look into it and figure out if you're in the right for that feeling.
Jeff's saying, I don't need to let my kids watch Bluey. Thank you, Jeff. I love you.
If you don't like, Bluey, that's all the information that your kids need.
And Australians.
Australians, sure.
No, but that's prisoners.
All I do is think about death.
I do agree with that because like, it's weird because like Aaron and you, and I'm looking at the two people that are in front of me, which would be Jeff and Jeremiah.
Is there anyone else in this room?
I don't know. There could be. Who else do I see in the room? They all like Bluey, and that's perfectly fine. I just don't like it because whenever I watch it, or whenever I have watched it, I just get that familiar feeling of the dad is an idiot, and the kids don't want to obey him. And I don't like it. And I don't like the little games they play where they're like, we're going to do the dance thing in public. We're going to do it to you. And then he's like, no, no. And then they do something. And then he has to like sit there and dance in public or whatever. And they get to run amok. And I'm like, I just don't like that.
There is definitely
my daughter misbehaves enough. Do I need to watch it on the television?
A sensitivity I have to the TV stereotype of dad's dumb.
Yeah.
You know, where it went from, you know, you like Hank Hill, which is not a kid's show, but on King of the Hill.
I thought it was.
It is if you're not trying very hard.
Hank Hill Yeah, he might have goofed off and messed up every once in a while, but he was always a good dad. And he always had a really good relationship with Bobby and with, I almost said Luann, with Peggy.
Peggy.
And I mean, I guess with Luann too. Peggy. But he may have messed up, but I remember specific episodes where like where Bobby wanted to be a fashion model. And the entire time, Hank was like, "You're not going to do that." And that's like pretty cool. He got, you know, he saved him at the last minute right before all the bullies went out and started throwing donuts and eggs at the other boy models on stage. And Bobby was like, "You were right, Dad." You know, so it's stuff like that where it's not difficult to write a good dad. And you contrast that with, you know, almost every other Disney Channel TV show or any other Nickelodeon TV show with a dad where the dad is either just not there, he's not present, period, or he's a complete idiot and has no idea how to do anything in his life.
Well, is that so a show that I still love and I'm just waiting for it to disappoint me is Daniel Tiger. And I'm sure at some point...
Yeah, Daniel Tiger's a good one.
I'm sure at some point it's going to disappoint me because the dad, he works and he comes home... And yeah, he's soft-spoken, but there is no like undermining of like the wife that I have noticed. There's no undermining of Daniel does what normal kids do, which again, like I said, is normal. He disobeys or gets angry or whatever. But then both of his parents are there telling him, "No, that's not how we do it. We do blank." And it's such a soft-spoken show where it's like that show opens up real conversations with kids. About where Aaron and I are sitting there singing "Grown Ups Come Back." I mean, like that kind of thing is allowed because it's a lesson we learned in Daniel Tiger. Okay, grown-ups always come back. You don't need to cry. So I think that show opens up a lot more or a lot really good conversations with kids, and I like shows like that where like Georgia wants to watch Curious George all the time, but I'm like all Curious George does is he makes everything amok. Trying to do good, I guess you could say, but I can't really explain, or it's hard to like sit there and have a conversation about that. Whereas on Daniel Tiger, we talk about like, hey, when we get angry, instead of being mad about it, like let's calm down and have some self-control. Now, of course, it's not like a Christian show, so it's not like, you know, hey, you need to, there's no point, you don't need to be angry when you have self-control. Let's talk about, you know, the fruit of the spirit, but it's, at least it has lessons where I can bring that in to the conversation, you could say, where I think like, you know, like I'm not going to keep bashing on Blue. Whatever. There's other shows I don't think have it.
Yeah, I would say one of the cautions, I disagree with you because I do watch Bluey, but I,
that's fine. Yeah. And that's
but,
your right.
But, yeah. I do think that Bluey, you know, it gives a good example for how we need to be cautious as parents. A lot of times we get carried away with the culture, and the culture is it, you know, all the shows, the parents are so overtly idiots. The dad is such an idiot that a show like Bluey comes out. And by contrast, he looks like the greatest dad in the world.
Right.
I don't think anything I've seen in Bluey shows that he's a bad dad or an idiot, but also I need to check to make sure that I'm not just being carried away with the culture. Like,
yeah.
Look how good he is compared to the dad from Fairly Odd Parents. He's great. Well, no, he might actually...
Wow, he brought that over.
That's a deep cut from my childhood.
That's awesome. I love that show.
But yeah, we need to be sure that we're not being carried away with the culture and just reflecting the culture.
Everyone loves
ago.
Bluey, so I love Bluey too. Is it just because everyone else loves it, or is it because there's actually good, or it's a good show in general?
We don't want to contrast the role models in a kid's TV show to the cultural role models in other kids' TV shows. We need to compare and contrast them to what the Bible says the kids need to be doing and how the parents need to be behaving as well. You know, I think one thing we can definitely all agree on is that we hate Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
My sister lets her daughter watch Peppa Pig. I've never seen it, but Laura Ellen said it's horrible.
I think we did one episode, and I don't even know anything about the show. It just was like, it seemed like bad quality to me.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So
it's like a
my
paper.
Kids weren't even entertained by it.
Weird. No, but something before we need to mention is, do you let your kids watch YouTube at all? YouTube kids?
Very, very little. That was more common a few years ago. Now I don't think they watch any.
Did you remember when like the whole adpocalypse thing happened?
Yeah.
And like when you type in like kids or child, the next thing will be, we all know what that was. Anyway, so we actually did do what, like, so people would experiment with it, like, hey, go to YouTube Kids and watch one video about whatever, and just let it keep loading videos, and you'll get to the Elsa ones or to the Spider-Man ones. And I remember I was at my buddy's house when that was happening, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, let's watch one. And so we watched, and it was like the most, for me, as I think I was 20, I don't even remember how old I was like 25 or 6, and like I'm watching it, and it's like so awkward, and it's like, but I know what they're doing. But also they're not doing it. But I know what they're doing, and it was like messing with my head. And I'm like, what is going on in a kid's mind when they see something like this?
It's
so weird.
There were videos with millions of views of Elsa and Spider-Man doing simulated sex acts and then drinking out of bleach bottles that they got under the kitchen sink, and they showed how to open the child safe latches. There were millions of views on video, like multiple videos of that. And it wasn't just one guy.
And they're getting ad money.
There were ones that it was videos. This one, I can't remember who it was. It was a Russian channel. Somehow was able to get it past the YouTube Kids ad block. And it was literally half-naked people, men and women, smoking cigarettes in beanbag chairs. And those were getting recommended to people. Or to kids on YouTube Kids.
Yeah.
And it was the autoplay stuff where, you know, a parent would
put on a Cocoa problem. Melon thing. Because Jeff talked about in the beginning is like sitting your kid in front of it and it being the babysitter.
Yeah, I was just about to say, YouTube is a lot easier to violate the intentionality rule than a movie. You know, especially like when we were growing up, it was VCRs and DVDs. You plug it in, it was done. Whenever the movie ended, you were done watching TV.
Be kind, YouTube, rewind.
It's
okay. did you guys have the rewinder where you could put it in there and it faster?
Yeah.
You put it in
our VCR had a rewind.
Ours
did too, but there was one that you could take it out and you put it in and you push it down and then
I don't remember
it automatically rewinds. Like, it goes and it would go really fast.
I don't remember that sound, but maybe we had one.
It was great.
I don't remember.
But YouTube, it's if your kid has an iPad or if you leave your phone out on the counter, your 2-year-old is going to be able to open it up and get to YouTube Kids and start watching videos without you helping them. Livy was able to do that. My daughter was able to do that when she was like 18 months old. Mm. And that was when we kind of stopped with YouTube because it was getting, all she wanted was YouTube. And even now, I think most kids nowadays, if you give them the option, let's go to a water park or watch a movie, they're all going to pick watch a movie. Let's have some food or watch YouTube. They're all going to watch YouTube. Screens are great for kids. Kids love screens. It's like cocaine for them. And
cocaine's like cocaine for us.
cocaine is our cocaine for sure. So many tangents, but I'm going to stay on track.
I refuse.
Yeah, you need to be intentional with what your kids are watching. The plan needs to be in place before you turn the TV on or before you hand them the phone. They get 15 minutes. Or it's just while I'm making dinner and I need them to sit still. And this is what they're going to watch.
Yeah, definitely not while I'm walking through the grocery store. And, you know, it's the only way to keep you quiet while I'm, you know, trying to do my
job. Don't get me started on that, dude.
But, and then talking about cocaine, Cocoa Melon, and all those other things they're intentionally made to be hyper-stimulating for kids. So switching from, I've heard a lot about Miss Rachel is one that people say, oh, she's a lot better than Cocoa Melon because there's like no bright colors and nothing hyper stimulating. It's just a woman sitting there talking and teaching kids colors and numbers and stuff. I'm not going to swear by that because I have no idea what she talks about. I've just heard that people are stopping with Cocoa Melon, which is great. Oh, is it time?
Oh, it's time.
I think it's time for a Luke's List.
Not doing anything.
Now touch the button. I was waiting for the lights to go. Touch the button now.
You don't talk. All right. All right. This list comes from sg.theasianparent.com. Thought it was appropriate. It's found this little Jeff got here. 10 bad TV shows for kids, and number 7 will shock you.
I refuse.
This feels like clickbait.
I refuse.
Here we go.
Do you have malware on your phone now?
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Number one, Pokemon. And the reason why is, guys, go listen to Pokemon
episode. Shameless plug.
Makes children aggressive. One of the most popular children's cartoons, Pokemon, is a favorite amongst many children and adults alike. But I'm not reading that wrong, so whatever. Anyway, that little yellow Pikachu and his friends, one of the bad TV shows for kids, you may ask. Well, psychologists have analyzed the violence levels in a few programs, including Pokemon. They believe that watching such animated shows can make young people more aggressive. So Pokemon's not allowed in anyone's house sitting in this room. Do you let your kids watch Pokemon?
Next question.
Okay, next one. Okay. I never watched Pokemon growing up. I have no emotional attachment to it, so I probably won't. There's so many things that I like to watch that I can watch with
Indigo
my kids.
League is top tier.
Dude, it really is, though. But no, I agree. If you didn't play a bunch of it when you were a kid, there's like, who cares? It's just a bunch of weird little animals running around. All right, number 2, I've never heard of this. Cow and Chicken? Cow and Chicken.
Isn't that a
Cartoon Network?
Yeah.
No. I think so.
No, that's... We're
thinking Courage
cat
the Cowardly dog.
No, we're thinking Cat Dog.
Cat Dog. Man, that was a classic. But cow I don't chicken. Even... I don't think I was allowed to watch
it. Pull it up, Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie,
give
it a
good,
it up.
JMO.
So it says it uses sexual innuendos with episodes...
No. It is what we're thinking about.
Oh, yeah. Is that Cartoon Network?
Oh, okay. Actually, I do know that.
And that's from like 1987?
No, 1997.
Okay.
Use sexual innuendos with episodes. Man, I can't even. Okay. With episodes such as The Ugly Weenie, Squirt the Daisies, Tongue Sandwich, Grizzly Beaver Safari.
I think we're good on the episode titles.
No, I'm going to go home and watch Tongue Sandwich tomorrow.
Yeah, you
want
to watch Horn Envy? We are surprised how much sexual connotation is squeezed into this cartoon about a curious pair of siblings.
I've never watched the show. I've heard of it, but I never watched the show.
I feel like it was one of those shows where it would come on or before a show that I was allowed to watch, and my parents didn't even know about that. But it was so bad. I don't think I ever wanted to watch it.
Here's the real question. Did you ever wake up at 2 in the morning at your grandparents' house and the Adult Swim bumpers were on and they terrified you so you couldn't go back to sleep?
Bumpers?
Yeah, the bumpers between shows.
Oh, my bad. No,
like
I
Too
don't.
Many Cooks or The Sun Is Not Coming Up?
No.
Oh, I'll have to show you some of them later.
No, please don't. I can't sleep in it as it is. All right, bad TV show number 3, SpongeBob SquarePants. Fast-paced.
Satan. Strongly disagree.
Fast-paced affects short-term memory. You like SpongeBob?
Oh, I grew up on SpongeBob.
I know, I did too.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
be
we weren't
quiet.
Allowed to watch SpongeBob.
I was.
He grew up on SpongeBob.
We took like a year hiatus.
Yeah, you were.
Okay.
Special.
My dad would watch SpongeBob with us because it was so stupid, and he literally will to this day goes, I mean, you guys, like when you were kids, you were just like that one episode with that stupid star and that sponge where they'd say, don't touch. And then the star would go, touch. And I'm like, how do you remember these?
Why is he pretending not to know SpongeBob's name?
Because he tries not to. And then
he knows the word sponge. It's not that
Spike,
hard, huge of a leap.
Then the guy goes, can you, I can't reach the window. Well, with spiky cleats, anything's possible. And then he jumps in the guy's eyes. Your fingers are stuck in my corneas. That was my dad. My dad to this
my
day.
My
dad to this day, if you ask if we can do something, he goes, well, with spiky cleats, anything is possible.
See, you guys are talking down on SpongeBob, but we're sitting here laughing, having a good time.
I'm not. I'm reading a list.
Talking about memories.
We're
laughing at these vague memories of SpongeBob.
I love SpongeBob. I'm just saying that the Asian parent doesn't like them. It's fast-paced and affects short-term memory. It may come as a surprise. A particular cartoon is one of the bad TV shows. Why is it a surprise? I feel like this is one I would know. But children psychologists warn that watching fast-paced cartoon or children's cartoons such as SpongeBob SquarePants, even for a few minutes, will hinder abstract thinking, affect short-term memory, and impulse control in young children.
That one feels a lot like video games cause violence.
Yeah, I know, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff, we're gonna go play GTA 4 after this, okay?
I didn't say that.
It might happen. All right, number four. What? I don't even know how to pronounce this one. I know what the show is.
We're never getting
to know
Caillou is the demon child.
Yeah, okay, negative behavior. I'm just gonna keep going with it. The image source was from YouTube. So anyway, apparently he's very naughty and he pinches little baby ears like that. Okay, that's number four. We'll go to number five. Winx Club. I don't know what that is.
I think that's...
Is that the witches?
No, it's fairies. Inappropriate attire and behavior. I mean, they are kind of dressed scantily as... I don't know what the heck they are supposed to be. Okay. Number six. Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom.
Never heard of that.
Calling others stupid is the problem.
That's stupid.
That is stupid. Oh, wait. No, we're on seven. This is the one
that's actually shocked.
Number seven. We should guess to see if we're really shocked. Animaniacs.
Ooh, that is a really good one.
Wow, that's a great
show. That is a good one. I'm going to say Sesame Street.
No, it's Cocomelon.
Cocomelon.
Screen time overstimulation, which I think is what Aaron, which I think he's actually just got here, so I wish he'd come out here. I could bring him talk about this. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Aside from speech delay and tantrums, Cocomelon earned a reputation of being too overstimulating to young children, which again, I think Aaron always told me about that. He was like, it's so fast paced. Like the cuts are so quick.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. Okay. Good thing I have my phone on silent. Okay. Number eight, Pepe Le Pew.
That's the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Perpetual.
Oh yeah. No, it's the rape culture.
Yeah. The rape culture.
I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my soul it's because of the kissing thing?
Yeah. He's French.
Oh, okay. Well, we're moving on then. Jeff says Pepe Le Pew's cool. All right, put that down. Number nine, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, racial stereotyping.
I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers either.
It had nothing to do with race.
We'll agree with the Asian
parent. It was because it was empowering women. That's what my dad said. Anyway, next one. Number 10.
You gotta add another sentence to that. That was
number 10. Peppa Pig, fat shaming and disrespectful behavior.
I'm not okay with one of those things.
You're not. Okay, it took me a second, and that's my list. Aaron's here. I love it. Anyway, so that is our episode on kids TV shows and the debut of Jeff coming on the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Are you going to come again?
If you have another interesting topic.
Okay. Well, that's whatever.
Maybe you could think of next time.
So is he saying that we don't have normal, interesting topics?
I guess even
though he doesn't listen?
I guess we'll record it again later.
I'm teeing it up because next time people see my name in the description, they're going to be like, this is interesting.
Oh, okay. Cool. Only Jeff will come on an interesting episode. That's pretty upsetting. Next week, we're going to do an episode on why you're wrong about getting married.
Marriage.
Come on.
So it brings us all together. Where can people find us, Jeremiah?
You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at First Off You're Wrong. You can also find us on X at F_O_Y_W. You can also email us at contact@firstoffyourewrong.
You can hear us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, but you already know. And with that, the most important lesson that you all learned today is that first off, you're wrong.
Say something.
Bye, everyone.